Why is it that men seem to feel that it is their job to promise God's grace? That individuals, regardless of the life they live, their religion, their sins and their failures, almost inevitably believe that somehow, when they die, that God's grace will cover their human failures and will open the gates of heaven so that they can go in. Seldom do we hear a funeral sermon preached that does not promise, in one way, shape, or form, God's grace for the deceased. Men look at other men. They look at the godly, the ignorant, the weak who wish to be strong, and they pronounce God's covering mercy and grace. Surely such a godly man is saved. God wouldn't condemn those who have not been taught. God knows our human frailties. He would never condemn those who try. But human extensions of grace is not ours to command. And it is very true that God's grace is so great that it can cover the entire world. Every human who has ever lived, if God so desired, would cover them with His grace. But does mercy so control God's heart that He indiscriminately dispenses grace? And since grace is God's gift and not ours, it is God who determines how it will be dispensed. And we need to understand exactly what God does say about these things. For very clearly, God does tell us that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. Romans 3 and verse 23 reminds us that we've all sinned and that all of us are under the curse of death. And without God's grace, there would not be salvation for anyone. What is the possibility of escape from certain and eternal destruction? Zero. But God's grace and mercy do come into the picture. How? We all would agree, through Christ Jesus. But before we look at God's mercy and grace for ourselves through Christ, we need to consider also God's mercy and grace towards His only Son. Did Jesus need mercy? No. A man, the only man who ever lived, who lived without sin. But He was born to make Himself a death offering instead of us. On that cross, He took our sins as His own. And as 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 reminds us, that God made Him to be sin for us. And concerning Christ, Hebrews 5 and verse 7 says that He offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death. For death was the wages of sin. Jesus had taken on mankind's sins. And so by taking those on, He came under that curse of death. But He was God's own Son, and you would think, as God's own Son, He would take Him and show Him mercy. But in that garden, He cried hard, tears of blood, begging God to spare Him from that bitter cup, begging for mercy and grace. But we know that no grace was extended. Instead, God closed His ears to Jesus' cries. He had forsaken his only son, and he let him die. Why would a father do that? He died because Jesus carried the sins, and to pay for those sins, he had to die. And the lesson for us is that there's a wall, if you will, that can stop even God's grace. A wall in which God's mercy cannot climb over. And that is the wall of sin. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, he writes, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Can we picture that night at the garden when Jesus cried out to him? In a sense, God did hear him because he sent an angel to minister to him, to encourage him, but that was the extent of it. But when we look at that picture of Christ again, what we see is no longer a dead sacrifice, but a resurrected and glorified Lord over all. But what made the difference? The difference we find in Philippians 2 in verses 8 and 9, where it says, "He humbled himself, that he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God also has highly exalted him." There is where God's mercy reached out, that he was covered by God's grace. But he was covered only through the results of his humble obedience, and only then. Yes, the price for sin has been paid. And now God's grace is extended to all of man. But how? Only in Christ and only in his death. When we read Romans 3 and verse 24, Paul says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, Paul again writes that God has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. All accountable humans exist in the first realm. We can live here and we can die here simply by doing nothing. And if they die in sin, they have totally and forever shut themselves behind that wall of sin. That wall that God's grace cannot cross. No amount of human godliness is enough to take away sin. Ignorance is not an excuse for sin. If you drive down one of these back roads in South Carolina doing 60 mile an hour and the cop pulls you over and you say, "Well, I didn't know what the speed limit was. It wasn't posted." You're getting the ticket, even though the speed limit's 35. No human frailty, no human good intentions can erase the sins that we commit. We can't cry our way through it. We can't plead. If it wouldn't work for Christ in the garden, in crying and pleading, how do we expect it to work for us? So we look to the second place in which we choose to live, and that is in Christ. How do we pass from the place of sin to the place of salvation in Christ. And if the wages of sin is death, how does His death become our death so that we can live in Him? And the answer we find in Romans 6 and verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so then we should walk in the newness of life. We talk a lot about being humble, but we truly must humble ourselves to become obedient. How many times do we speak about imitating Christ? How many Bible class lessons, how many sermons do we have to hear about imitating Christ in our lives? How many times do we hear, what would Jesus do? When we speak about imitating Christ, we think at times that it means living like He lived, react like He would react. Too many carry it for a banner, but they have absolutely no clue as to what it means. Only when we die to sin, only when we are buried and resurrected to that new creature, then and only then will God's mercy reach out and cover us with His grace. And it's the only way. Only then can we have a salvation in the blood of Christ. For the humans on this earth, mercy and grace does not come free in the sense that we must be able to do something to obtain it. We need to tear down that wall. And as Christ was humble and obedient even to death, so must we. And if we are not a child of God this evening, where do we stand? And how will we remove that wall? Tear it down so that God's mercy and grace can be extended. And that is to humble yourselves and to become obedient to the gospel. Faith and repentance and the washing of the sins away through baptism, then God's mercy and grace is extended. If there's any here who has a need to answer the invitation and respond, we pray that you will do so as we stand and we sing.